Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Live from the Play Show, yet not overly ostentatious studios of WFAN here in beautiful New York City. Welcome on in. It's game four of the NBA Finals, everybody. On a Wednesday evening, Zach Gelb here with you all the way up until 10 p.m. We got you on before the game where you're listening to us. You'll listen to us during the game. And then after the game, Tommy Lugauer will be your way. 888-808-1019 is the number to jump on in. That's 888-808-1019. You could always get at me on the good old cesspool of Twitter or on Instagram where I'm straight flexing at Zach Gelb. And away we go in New York City where there's a lot of traffic. There's a lot of areas you can't go. We will eventually get into Dolan, who is in studio with the Carden Show with Chris McMonagle. We will get into Mamdani, right? Because that's what the NBA Finals is all about. We want to talk about politicians. Yeah, no thanks. I'm good. Like, I know you got to do it. You have Dolan sitting right there. That's been a big story. But if you're getting ready for this game, I don't care if President Trump is in the building. He won't be there tonight. I don't care if Mayor Mamdani, whatever he's doing with the watch parties. I don't care if Dolan and Mamdani hate one another. It doesn't matter to me. All I care about is the New York Knicks tonight winning the basketball game. And I got a message to New York City. Give Leon Rose, give the New York Knicks the benefit of the doubt. Because I remember as an initial Leon Rose supporter when he was hired, and it was controversial. Oh, you're bringing in a guy that was an agent, a very successful agent. Oh, from CAA to the Knicks, it's going to be another disaster. Heck, I was in the Post, the Daily News. I was interviewing Rasheed Wallace and Stephon Marbury, and they were slamming the hire. Slamming the hire. And I sat there and I said, the Knicks need to try something different. And Leon Rose has many great relationships. Leon Rose know these players on the inside and out. And you just got to give him some trust. And the owner has to get out of the way. And any move that Leon Rose has made, bringing in Jalen Brunson. Oh, you can't give him the contract that they initially gave him. He's overrated. Oh, that's not going to work. Ended up being the greatest contract in the history of the organization. And a big reason because of that is because Leon Rose, with his connection to Rick Brunson, as Rick was his first ever client when Leon was an agent, the Roses and the Brunsons are as tight could be. So Leon, he knew exactly everything about Jalen. So if he was willing to put his reputation on the line to bring in Jalen Brunson, why would you think it's not going to work? And then you continue through all of this stuff. They trade for Karl Anthony Towns. Oh, no, shouldn't have done it. How do you get rid of Dante DiVincenzo? How do you get rid of Julius Randle? They trade for OG Anunoby. Yeah, don't like the trade. They trade for Mikal Bridges. How do you give up 5 first-round picks? This organization under Leon Rose, all they have done is win, 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 and guess what? Win. And always along the way, they've been doubted. This time last year, when they blew that game one, I was at the Garden up against the Indiana Pacers. That was really when the series lost. And then after the series, they end up firing Tom Thibodeau. Tom Thibodeau, thank you. Seriously, thank you for what you did. But Leon Rose knew him best. And Leon knew that Tom Thibodeau reached his apex with this group and wasn't going to win a championship with this group. Then they interviewed about 10,000 other people. I think even Alex Azarm is producing the show tonight. He got interviewed for the Knicks job, by the way. And they interviewed everybody. And eventually they got to Mike Brown. And look at what Mike Brown has done this postseason. He's loose. Mike Brown is real. Mike Brown has relationships. And Mike Brown adjusts. And all throughout the regular season, where I would listen to the Fan or I'd be on the Fan, and people would lose their mind over the regular season. Out of all the four major sports, regular season basketball in the NBA is the least relevant. You don't need to be great in the regular season to go win a championship. You just need to have a ticket to the dance. And all throughout the year, what was the expectation for the Knicks? Just get to the NBA Finals. NBA Finals are bust. NBA Finals are bust. NBA Finals are bust. Even if the Knicks had this miraculous regular season where they still won 50-something games, they were still the 3 seed in the Eastern Conference, But if they had this miraculous regular season where they won 70 games and they were the number one seed, what would everyone be saying on The Fan? Everyone would be calling up 888-808-1019, and they would be saying, you better get it done in the postseason. So the regular season, as Mike Brown so eloquently said a few days ago, was kind of like trial by error. It was a test run for now. And so far in the postseason, the first round, it wasn't pretty, but they got the job done. And then they quickly got the brooms out up against the Sixers, quickly got the brooms out up against the Cavs. And what? The Knicks got to the NBA Finals, and so many people said what? Ah, they'll lose to San Antonio. Then the Knicks don't even play their best brand of basketball. In game one, they come on back. They win the game by 10 points. Game number two, it looked like they were pulling away. Got scary at the end. You had the crazy Wembanyama pass. That was an errant pass. They end up pulling the game out. So in game number three, it was a huge moment. Huge moment, right? If they would have won game three, the series is over. The series would have been over. They had too many turnovers. I know we'll all get caught up in the officiating, how Wembanyama, that didn't get upgraded to a flagrant one. I still don't understand it. But they lost the game. They lost the game that snapped the 13-game win streak in the postseason. Like, that doesn't date back to the regular season. I'm just talking about in the postseason. And they only lost the game by a $115 to 111. Think about that. They only lost that game 115 to 111. So if you're someone right now, and I understand this organization has really forced a lot of pain and suffering on many Knicks fans for all throughout the years, and you're just waiting when something is so good and you could taste the championship trophy, you could taste the Larry O'Brien trophy, they are two wins away. Two wins away from doing something that's unthinkable. Hoisting the Larry O'Brien trophy. And now is not the time to panic. Now is not the time to say, oh, the other shoe is going to fall. The other shoe is going to drop. And everything that we thought was happening, everything that we were gearing for, everything that we were gunning for, now it's about to crumble because you lost one game to a team in San Antonio that's going to be around for a long time that's very good. These are the new New York Knicks. It's time to be optimistic. It's not time to be pessimistic. This game is enormous tonight. This, as someone that is 31 years old, I turned 32 in August. This is the biggest New York sporting event of my lifetime tonight. Like, when the Yankees won a championship, they had all those other championships. When the Mets were in the World Series, right, and you had that big game five, like, they were down 2-0, then they got one, then they lost game four. Like, you go through all these runs. 2006 is up there, game seven, NLCS. But the Knicks, just the thought of the Knicks ever winning a championship was so foreign. And all throughout this run, whether it was this year or in previous years, people have fallen in love with this basketball team. People have fallen in love with the Knicks again. And what I mean by that, because some people are going to call up and they're going to be like, hey, Zach, I always loved the Knicks. But at so many times, it was embarrassing to walk around the city as a Knicks fan because the team was a laughingstock. So right now, as you get ready for game four tonight, this is what the Knicks are made for. And I have to believe in this team. I have to give them the benefit of the doubt. And I hope tonight I can get on social media after the game or tune into The Fan when Tommy Lugauer is on and hear everyone just have to take it from Knicks fans. That all, they're up 3-1. Because I do a lot of national work. The national narrative is, oh, momentum shifting back to San Antonio. Like Draymond Green on Inside the NBA the other night, when the Knicks are up 2-0, there's more pressure on the Knicks than the San Antonio Spurs. No, there's not. Not for game three. Now, tonight, this is enormous. Tonight, the pressure's on the Knicks. And tonight, the Knicks have to play a great game. Like, I go back to this, because this could go both ways with the analogy I'm going to use. Here's how it goes into my argument. Remember last year when the Knicks played the Boston Celtics in the second round of the playoffs? What did they do the first two games? They won on the road, both of them. They came back to Madison Square Garden. The roof was about to pop off, and they ended up losing that game. It was 2-1. I remember doing a show on WFAN before that game four of Knicks and Celtics, and it was so pessimistic. It was, the Knicks are going to lose. The Celtics are the better team. This is going to be 2-2. They wasted a 2-0 series lead. Then it's going to go back to Boston. The Knicks already won two games there, so Boston's going to win. It's going to be 3-2. And I sat there and I said, I don't have a really great explanation on why the Knicks are going to win this series, but I just trust this team. I just trust this team. And I just feel like they're going to find a way to win this series. And I feel like before the series, and I feel like it right now, they're going to find a way to win this series. And what did the Knicks do? They won that game four. They then lost game five. They won game six, and they advanced to the conference finals. That's what I think this is going to be tonight. That's what I hope this is tonight. That's what I believe that this is tonight. I believe that in the NBA finals, even up against that alien and Victor Wembanyama, what happened up against the Boston Celtics in game four last year, a game that I was at Madison Square Garden, is what's going to happen tonight. Now, on the other side, if I want to be pessimistic for a second, which I'm trying not to be, I want to be optimistic here. As a Ranger fan, I remember when the Rangers were last in the conference finals up against the Panthers. And the Rangers were up 2-1 in that series, and you felt like they haven't even played their best game yet. And I remember sitting there after the puck luck went their way in overtimes in game two and game three, and they were up 2-1. I said, they have the Florida Panthers right where they want them. The Rangers haven't even played their best game yet, and they're two wins away from going to the Stanley Cup final. Imagine when they play their best game yet. And what happened? The Rangers didn't win another game of the series. That can't happen with this Knicks team. And I don't even think the Knicks have played their best game yet in the NBA Finals. And that's why I'm really optimistic tonight. That's why I believe the Knicks are going to find a way to win this game. And I believe in Jalen Brunson. I believe in Karl-Anthony Towns. I believe in OG Anunoby. I believe in Mikal Bridges. I believe in Josh Hart. I believe in Mitchell Robinson. I believe in Deuce McBride. Like, I believe in this team. And you go back to this team and you take a look at Leon Rose, who's the architect of this team. Almost every move that he's made, he's been doubted. Give this team the benefit of the doubt. Give Leon Rose the benefit of the doubt. Give Mike Brown the benefit of the doubt. Give the players, Jalen Brunson and Kat, the benefit of the doubt until they don't deserve it. If they lose tonight, maybe they don't deserve the benefit of the doubt. But until they lose tonight, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt, and I think the Knicks are winning tonight. 888-808-1019, Zach Gelb here with you on the Fan. Let's go to Ted and Hewlett. First up in the Fan was Zach Gelb as we get ready for game four. Knicks and the Spurs in the NBA Finals. The New York Knicks are up 2-1. Ted, go ahead. How are you?
Zach, first of all, I'm honored to be your first caller tonight. Second of all, the analysis that you did might be, I listen to the Fan every day. I listen to everybody. I'm a huge Knicks fan. That might be the best analysis I have heard from anybody. You didn't copy what anybody else said. It's independent. It's too good. I haven't heard it.
Well, I appreciate that, Ted. What do you got
really
today?
I'm impressed with you.
Thank you.
Okay, so here you go. In a nutshell, what we need for the Knicks to win tonight, I agree with everything about Leon Rose, is Jalen Brunson has to play winning basketball. It doesn't mean he has to score all the points. He did not play winning basketball last game because he wasn't passing the ball. The Knicks weren't fast breaking down the court, racing back and forth. They weren't playing the old Golden State Warriors type of winning basketball. He needs to not be a ball hog. He thought that because some other guys missed a few shots, he lost confidence in them. All of a sudden, he's not passing the ball. He's not passing the cat. Nobody's moving. Everybody's watching him dribble and miss shots. If he changes his style to the winning basketball he was doing earlier in the playoffs, we win tonight, no problem. What do you think of that?
Ted, I think the assist numbers have to be there for Jalen Brunson. Because I do think in the fourth quarter, there's nobody more that I would want with the basketball in their hands and just shooting more than Jalen Brunson. But before that, you need Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby, who I thought were the two biggest players in this series, to have big games tonight. And I look back at that box score of game four last year when everyone thought the Celtics were going to beat the Knicks and it would be tied up at 2-2. Here was Jalen Brunson's stat line. He had 39 points. He doesn't need 39 points tonight. It would be nice if he had 39 points, 14 of 25 from the field. But he had 12 assists in that game. Like, I got to see tonight, like, 8 to 12 assists by Jalen Brunson. And Karl-Anthony Towns in that game was 11 of 15 from the field, had 23 points and 11 rebounds. But here was the big one. OG Anunoby, 20 points. Mikal Bridges, 23 points. And Josh Hart didn't even play that great. He had 6 points, but he also had 9 rebounds. And that's what Josh Hart has been. And that's the shame, really, of game three, is that OG was phenomenal offensively. Josh Hart was phenomenal offensively, and that was like the first great offensive game from a point production standpoint with Josh Hart in a while, because a lot in the first two games of the NBA Finals, I feel like with Josh Hart, it's just been rebound. 888-808-1019, let's go to Liam in Sullivan County. Next up on the Fan with Zach Gelb. Liam, what's going on?
Zach, to all the Knicks fans out there and to all the national media supporting the Spurs, relax. We got this, okay? Let's the Knicks lost by four, right? I think the Knicks went somewhere around 1 of 15 from three in the fourth quarter. Had they made two of those shots, we'd be talking, singing a different song. So for Julian Champagne to be smart, talking smack like that the Knicks aren't going to win another game. Relax. What did you do? You won by four when we weren't hitting our shots. I mean, we can go on about the refs. We can go on how the Knicks weren't aggressive, but what are we celebrating here, man? You know, I'm talking about Champagne. I'm talking about you Spurs fans. I'm talking about the national media. Relax. The Knicks just went 43 days without losing a game. I mean, I am 100% fully confident in this team that we will win tonight and we will win this series. Thank you and have a good night.
You got it, Liam. And I know it was not Mark Messier necessarily. We all remember that Mark Messier guarantee we will win tonight. Up against the Devils. And then he had that great hat trick in that game six. But James Dolan coming into this studio today, the chair is to my right, and saying, I guarantee we're going to win the game tonight. That's going to go one of two ways. If he's right, that's an iconic moment. If he's wrong, oh boy, social media is going to have fun with Mr. Dolan. Let's go to Ross on Long Island. Next up on the Fan with Zach Gelb. Ross, go ahead. What's shaking?
Hey, Zach, great analysis. I agree with the other caller. Really great breakdown. Look, I'm a huge Knicks fan. I've been a Knicks fan for all my life, and I absolutely don't want to blame the referees for the fact that we lost that game. However, I guess I'm hyper-focused on some of the replays from Game 3, and I noticed two things particularly. First off, and one particularly that bothers me, there was a review by the referees. The referee got on the microphone. And the referee refers to Wembanyama, hard one to pronounce, but refers to him as Wemby. Something about that just rubs me the wrong way. You're a paid professional. You should.
Can I ask you a question, Ross? Can I just ask you a quick question? I'm not like cutting you off. I'm not going to hang up on you. I'm just wondering because like that doesn't really bug me, but I've seen people say that. If let's say it was Michael Jordan, and the ref goes, "Hey, the foul isn't on MJ," would that have annoyed you?
I think it would, okay. Just because I think it's unprofessional. It almost gives the it almost makes me feel, from my perspective, that they're like friends, because it's a nickname, you know. It almost sounds like they're like friends, you know. And with all the controversy going on with him being the golden child and with him, you know, getting all the calls, it doesn't look good for the NBA. I think it's unprofessional, and I think they should just pronounce his name the way it's pronounced instead of using a nickname. Can I just make one other point?
Sure.
So obviously I don't think it would have mattered anyway, but again, I'm being hyper-focused on one of the plays that occurred. I think it was the last possession the Knicks had the ball. There was like 6 seconds left. If you take a look at that last shot by Mikal Bridges, it looked like De'Aaron Fox fouled him on purpose. He tugged his jersey, and when Mikal Bridges shot it, and right after he shot it, you could see De'Aaron Fox like raise his hands in the air as if he was trying to foul him on purpose. Obviously, it doesn't matter, but you know there's a lot of little things that kind of just irk me about the officiating.
Yeah, Ross, and appreciate the phone call. You could look back at everything until you're blue in the face. And was the officiating good in game number three? No, it wasn't. The officiating was not good. The free throw disparity in the second half was embarrassing. But with that being said, I don't blame the officials for why they lost. Like, it could be one of the reasons, but the main reason was the turnovers. Too many turnovers. You can't play that style of basketball in the postseason and expect to win with that many turnovers. And here's the scary part. San Antonio got one, and the one that they got, the Knicks offense was so lethargic and had so many turnovers. And the Spurs only won 115 to 111. That's why I'm still really optimistic with this Knicks team. Let's go to Sean in North Carolina. Next up on the Fan in New York City. Sean, what's happening?
Hey, Anthony, right?
Zach, but go ahead. Go ahead, Sean.
I'm sorry, Zach Keller. I'm sorry. Hey, listen, I just heard you were 31. Listen, I'm 59, so I just want to give you a little history here. Okay, and I'm not going to be an old ogre and say, you know, whatever. But the Mets in 86 were the greatest sport. I'm a Yankees fan, and I'm a Giants fan. If the Mets or Jets won a championship, it would be the greatest thing in New York City. Not the Knicks. I'm sorry. look, man, I used to love to go to the Knicks game.
But Sean, the Mets have already won. Like the Jets, I could give you that. But still, the Mets have had some good years. They've at least been to the World Series twice in my lifetime. Like, I know the Knicks went to the NBA Finals in 1999. Charlie Ward's going to join us coming up later,
Zach,
who started for the team.
Zach,
but I'm a diehard Mets fan. I think the Knicks winning would be bigger than the Mets. I really do.
No, Zach, if you saw 86, the city was on fire, man. And 96 with the Yankees when they won after so many years of a drought, it was unbelievable.
Are you a Knicks fan, Sean?
I am a Knicks fan.
Okay.
I am, of course, because you know, it's the only really team out there besides the Nets. I mean, who's a Nets fan, right? But the Knicks don't pull in the suburbs and other places. They pull in a lot of city people. You know what I mean?
Well, Sean, and, I appreciate it. I got to let you run. I grew up on Long Island. I have lived in New York City since 2019. I've never seen the city like this. Even when I've gone home for games, I've never seen, out east like that as well on the island. I've never seen anything like this in this city. I haven't. I haven't. And they haven't even won the championship yet. Like, the other night I was walking around the city. I was watching the game, and then I walked home 40 minutes. I wanted to take it in after game one. What was going on in the West Side Highway? There was this dude. He opened up his sunroof. The car was driving. He's screaming out of the sunroof, "Go effing Knicks! Go effing Knicks!" He's going nuts. I thought, as he get ready to enter the tunnel was about to just chop off his cabeza.